Here you are. BPMs high, sweat dripping, body moving, tongue panting. You're working hard, real hard, and you're thirsty. You need vitamins, nutrients for peak performance and energy. And your plants do too.
Aw,
I mean, just look at the little guy. Water-soluble plant food from Miracle-Gro is full of essential nutrients. Just a little scoop into your watering can and boom, instant feeding and bigger, more beautiful plants. It's kind of like a sports drink for your plants. You may have to suffer from heat, but your plants do not.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
What's up, besties? Welcome to Pillows and Beer. I'm Craig Conover, joined by Nick Norris and the ghost of Austin's past, wherever he may be. This is going to be part one or part A of this episode because we don't know where Austin is. So we'll probably join at another time, but it's been a while since Nick and I had a chance to catch up. What's up, Nick?
What's going on, Craig? How much longer are you in? I know you said you were at a neighbor's party. How much longer are you at home for?
Till tomorrow. So I had like a week. It's funny, it flew by. I was looking at my suitcase earlier, excuse me. And it's like all spread out on my bedroom floor. And it felt so good when I got here to do that. Cause I was like, I have a full week. Like I brought books and stuff. I was like, I'm going to spend all this time like reading downstairs. And now I'm looking at it and I'm like, how has like a week gone by that I have to pack my stuff already?
Yeah, that's always the worst.
During the holidays just goes so much faster. Depending on what side of things you're on. I think if you have kids, it probably, you know, there's certain ages where
get out of my house.
A lifetime.
Go back to school.
But yeah. But I was just talking to two parents about that. The snow days. They were like, yeah, snow's fun for one day. Then it's like, go back to school. But I had a pretty social break, I guess, friends and family wise. And like my god sister Mia came over today with her mom Dana, which was fun. And then we went to my like pseudo aunt and uncles that lived down the street. And I just had, it was an Italian feast. It was so good. Like I don't get like really that jazzed up over Italian cooking unless I'm like at Paige's house, but it was really good.
So when you say so is it like pastas? Like what is it?
Yeah, it was American Italian. You know, it was chicken parm, meatballs, and bow tie pasta with like red sauce. And I put a ton of red pepper flakes on it and it was like spicy and it was just good. And Caesar salad, but like, you know, and garlic bread, but. Do you do any Italian stuff for the holidays?
Oh, yeah. No, for whatever reason, it's like the day before. For Thanksgiving, we do a big pasta night Wednesday. And then Christmas Eve, we always do lasagna.
Oh, okay. Paige's parents do, I think, the 26th, they do lasagna.
Yeah, no. So, yeah, it's always, you know, Big Caesar, lasagna, garlic bread, and then, you know, we always get like really nice wine for, you know, Christmas Eve and Christmas dinner.
See, that's fun. You know, it's crazy. I bought some really nice wine to drink and I didn't open it. I didn't like want to say it when like Austin was here because he was like, I've been drunk 3 days straight or three times a day, which is great. But for me, because I definitely like the, you know, whatever journey I'm doing, it's like not preachy and not like I just had. Well, I'm not going to lie. I almost lied about drinking. That's how reverse this is. I was just lied about having a glass of wine down the street, but usually it's the opposite. But I didn't even open a wine just to like taste it. I don't know. I'm in I did have a Christmas beer. It was called something, but it tasted like chocolate and like, God,
oh,
it
like
tasted
nice,
so
like
good. But I had like half of it. Yeah. On my brother's birthday. But anyway, I did buy some good wine and I'm excited for one day to pop it. What kind of wine did you get? Like color wise and like
Big Reds. Some Italian wine, some French wine, and some Napa cabs. I just go and there's a couple good local wine stores, and one of them downtown is like this super Frenchy, you know, French guy that owns it, and talking to him about all the types of wine is just so much fun. It's like going into a candy shop for adults. He's like, well, there's this one. I'm like, I don't want to spend a crazy amount. He goes, oh, well, I got you, you know, and he's finding like deals on like everything, you know. Well, this is usually like $80, but it's $50 today.
Yeah, and they know what stuff means. So my big thing that I learned what it meant was fruit forward, which you hear all the time. And so how I learned was they saw me in this room trying to buy a bottle for my brother for his birthday. And I really didn't want to talk to someone, but they're like, let us bring this guy in here. And he came in and I was like, I want a European wine. And he's like, all right, fine. I was going to grab you this California red. He actually didn't say much. I almost just articulated what he was, or like, you know, narrated what he was doing. And he's like, look, this is a really great French wine. And I was like, well, my brother, like, we're not like, we love great wine, but we're not that sophisticated. And he's like, well, this has, no. He goes, this has so many layers. And I was like, I was trying to figure out what he meant. And he was like, so you have to sit and like, you know, sip it and like really let it air out. And he's like, so basically that was an expensive wine because of like all of the different, like the journey you'll go on. And I was like, well, we kind of like stuff that just tastes good. And he was like, then I'm going to give you a California red. He said, and I was like, okay. And then he said, I said, you know, my brother likes Prisoner and stuff like that. And he's like, yeah, he likes fruit forward stuff, which is what I told you. And I was like, in my head, I was like, well, I didn't know what fruit forward meant. And I guess what it means is like the fruitiness hits you first.
And you get like that plummy or blackberry, whatever flavor right away. Yeah,
like cherry. And so I got him a bottle called Double Diamond. And I was hoping he was going to open it so he could drink it. And then I got an Italian wine is the one that I didn't drink, which wasn't on purpose. I don't know. I really wanted to drink it on Christmas Day and I just forgot.
Yeah, I didn't.
No, that's great. I was pumped that you guys had so much fun.
Yeah. Well, you just, you know, family friends come over and then, you know, they bring a bunch of champagne for mimosas in the morning. And then it just, you know, one thing leads to another. And then it's just like, well, I'm not turning back now. So
I love it. Love it. And I think those big social days are so fun and we don't get to do them enough. It's almost like COVID, except you weren't supposed to be doing, you know, social gatherings, but it's like if COVID happened, but you could socialize with the people around you, you know, and you're like, just get to know each other and drink and be merry.
Yeah. I mean, it's awesome. And I need to take a break. I don't think I'm gonna drink anything tomorrow because once I go to the beach, it's just another, just it's go, 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 go. It's just, and I'm not saying we're like raging alcoholics by any means, but it's just one of those things where you're at the beach and it's wintertime. I mean, everybody's got a cocktail in their hand. We're not like doing shots.
Dude, if you can take breaks, you're not an alcoholic.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna take next week.
So wait,
like, next week's done.
What do you mean you're going to the beach?
No, we're going to Curry Beach, North Carolina. This is where I'll be doing my polar plunge by myself. So, you know, we just go to the beach every New Year's. They do a nice local celebration. It's very fun. They do a beach ball drop like on the boardwalk from a big fire truck and everything. They do fireworks. It's always a good time. It's just a good local. It's if you see like the small like it's like a Hallmark movie kind of thing. Like it'd be a scene from that. So we'll be doing that. So I go down Friday. So, you know, it's a short trip, but, you know, come back Tuesday, but it's enough to see everybody, you know, have the extended family Christmas kind of thing for everybody we didn't get to see.
No, that's awesome. Dude, have you, since Austin's not here, have you seen the new Malaysia flight stuff?
No, I haven't. I saw something, but it wasn't about that. Let's go to the Google, everybody.
No, there's videos. So there's this video that they used like energy cameras from like satellites, and it shows that these three orbs.
Oh, that's already been. I watched some. I saw this. It's been debunked already. Somebody found a video from 2016 that someone made fake. So they just stole the and just photoshopped out and just rendered it over.
Well, what it was these three orbs that are like they're rotating around a plane in orbit, basically making its own gravitational force. Yeah. And then the plane just disappears. And you're saying that what
I can
that
send you from? The debunk. It's these guys I follow on YouTube. You know, they're like they have like a private CG visual effects studio. So, and one of their like weekly videos is we debunk, is it real or is it fake? Kind of videos that are on the internet, and it's crazy how easy it is these days to make videos like that.
See, some of the comments were saying that the art, that it would be very difficult to make that movie.
All right, I gotta send you the after we get off, I'm gonna text you the Corridor Digital crew video and let you take your own opinion if they're just making it up or actually, but they actually like show other, because they have the same, and their can't like for their studio, they have like the same like not format, what is it, like template that they use in that video. Like they literally just pull it up and make the same video.
And they're
there's something to it. I think it got blown up.
Well, yeah, I mean that's the most obvious thing. It got shot down. That's why we didn't find it. We didn't want to find it.
Like it got shot down. I think it got blown up on the plane.
I think it was an inside job. I think it got shot down. I think it got shot out of the sky. But you know, there's something to be said that it went and landed somewhere. But that's a whole nother thing. Have you ever looked at that island?
Like, did you watch that TV show?
Which one?
It's like, I think it's an old, it's like just ended, like, I think it's on Netflix now. It's like the NBC show. It's Manifest or whatever, where the plane disappears and then shows up 5 years later and no one knows. They think they just landed.
I think if it blew up, it would have had a different flight. Like, I don't know. I can't remember. But basically, whatever happened, it was covered up for a reason. I don't think we just lose airplanes these days, but. What do I know? Which is nothing, actually. I just kind of ramble about it. Let's take a quick break with that said. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Pillows and Beer. Merry Christmas, everyone. This is that weird time between Christmas and New Year's that no one has any clue what to do. But honestly, it's a great time. It's a great time if you know how to handle it. Nick, what do you think about the lag week between Christmas Day and New Year's Day?
Like you said, it's weird. We went bowling today as a family, so that was fun. Since my sister drives back to Chattanooga tomorrow. I always forget how fun bowling is.
Like, bowling is great. More people should bowl. It's a great hangout spot.
It's so much fun, and I'm going to get my buddies to do it because I saw like Mondays through Thursdays, it's after 7, it's $17, you know, unlimited bowling with shoes and everything included. So no.
Yeah.
And like,
and you really aren't on your phone that much because it's like active, but you don't have to pay attention. Like it's a perfect balance for a social setting.
Look who it is. Hello.
Hey.
Same shirt. Different one. What were you coloring?
Colors today. Looks like.
Yeti.
Yeah, we were just talking about the lag between Christmas Day and New Year's Day and how it can be really relaxed. I mean, it's really low-key one of the better weeks out there, in my opinion.
It is a relaxing
week.
Because
you can't start anything until the 1st of January.
Yeah, and I pretty much just do emails and things like that. That's pretty much the work I can get done.
I think I'm catching up on emails where it's like, you're not getting ahead of anything. You're like closing out things, and it's like, okay, as long as you do it by New Year's.
You know, not to bring up something that y'all might have brought up already, but it's one of those weeks where I'm glad that y'all are talking about this because it is a great week. It's one of those weeks where like you can kind of just hang out and wear, you know, the same shirt, you know, twice in a row and no one really even notices. It's just like a beautiful sort of like limbo week.
But are you back at your house?
I am, yeah. Came back to Charleston. I drove today because I'm flying out tomorrow.
Oh, that's right. You're going to New York, right?
Mm-hmm. Or New York. Just a quick little trip. I do, Craig. And I got my first upgrade and I gifted my sister gold status with my new diamond status. And so she got an upgrade as well. And so she's all jazzed about it that she gets.
No way. She got upgraded. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. She, yeah, well, not the gold first. Right? I gifted it to my mom and sister. And because in 2024, you can gift two people now.
As to use both of your choice benefits?
It just uses one. One of your choice benefit can gift two people gold.
Well, that's a heck of a play, Delta. Because right? I need a guest pass so I can take a guest into the Sky Club. I do the four global, four regional upgrades. Globals are huge. And then gift gold to Christopher. So that's awesome. But no, yeah, we were about to talk about
this year. I don't know what it was last year, but this year it's two global and four regional. Anyways, it's pretty cool. And Katie and I are
four and eight.
And tomorrow, Katie and I are actually on the same flight. So I don't know if I should. Okay, what do you guys think? Because we briefly talked about this. So Katie got the upgrade to Comfort, and I got the upgrade to First. Do you think that I should sacrifice my first seat to the person who's sitting next to her in Comfort so that her and I can fly together and, I don't know, you know, giggle and things like that, or is it not even worth it?
I mean, I've done that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, in your situation, my overwhelming gut response was no. You just spent a whole week together and like you're going to New York. It's an hour and 15-minute flight, and like it's almost more hassle and confusing to do that. Okay. I thought you were going to say,
I'm glad that you said it.
Yeah, no, I would just be flying. No, I would be flying. Yeah, I could do that too. Like, if you guys were going on a trip together, I would do that. But for a flight to New York, no, just sit in your seat and she sits in her seat.
Yeah.
Is my gut.
Okay. All right. See, that's why I asked. Because I it's a thought that just kind of popped in my head. And I was like, oh, well, you know, well, that could be fun. And then it's like, dude, it's like an hour and 15-minute flight or like an hour and a half flight. It's not that big of a deal.
No. And then something would happen and like a problem would come out of it. And you'd be like, I was just trying to, sir,
there are cops waiting for you upon arrival because you switched seats when you weren't supposed to. You're like, I'm sorry.
Dude, so this question, I'm sure you guys saw it. I wanted to save it for the podcast, but for our listeners, there was something that went around that said, if you could get $1 million right now handed to you and you don't have to do anything, or you get 8 hours at Augusta National to shoot 9 under. And if you do that, you get $10 million, but you get unlimited mulligans. What do you do? I mean, I was trying to do the math in my head to convince myself that I couldn't do it. And then I got to the point where I was like, no, like mulligans, like in 10 shots, I'm going to get a good shot. But now 9 under is a lot. So I would actually have to see the map of the course, but I think unlimited mulligans, the time doesn't matter. You can either do it or you can't for me. So I think I'm going to take the 10 million and go for the challenge would be my answer.
Definitely. I think that's definitely the answer. It's either that, you know, you can do it or you can't. And for me, I mean, yes. So like off the tee, 6 out of the 18 holes or 8 out of the 18 holes, I will slice it into the woods. But if I re-tee it up, then boom, you know, right down the fairway. So I think that I could do that, you know, the whole way in. And in 8 hours, I really think that I could do it.
See, we have the ability to do it, not the consistency. And that's why right. the mulligans help. For me, I was thinking about greens and regulation. So I was like, I'm going to have to get my second shot close to that pin to make a putt.
Wait.
Because yeah. you have the birdie Ooh. Nine hole.
Ooh.
You have the birdie. Because, I'm not worried about getting off the tee.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Sitting on the green and
your approach.
Like a mat. Yeah. Your approach is like you don't.
Well, you don't even read the first button. You don't read it. You just hit the putt and see what it does.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, when do you say like, all right, that approach got 15 feet. I guess I'm going to try to make that. Like, it's not going to be easy.
Oh, hell no. At Augusta, it's going to kick your ass. But
because like on the par fives, you can. Yeah. But so, I mean, I assume they mean you have to play from the tips. Like it would take every ounce of skill that you had.
Well, wait, a million or 10 million, correct?
You get a million or you win 10.
Yeah, I just don't, I don't think, not to sound like $1 million is not like a lot of money, but I don't think like $1 million is like enough to not give it a go.
Well, it's not enough for me so not to play Augusta. Too. To get the opportunity to play Augusta.
Nick, that's Nick, true too, Nick.
That doesn't even come into my decision analysis.
Sorry, Craig. That is
no, like,
one
I'm
of my bucket list items.
In my crazy Definitely. Head, I'm like, if I, like in my thoughts, I'm like, I'll end up playing if I want to.
My dad would probably punch me for not taking the million, but at the same time would punch me for not going to play Augusta for 10 million. And then he'd punch me again if I didn't get
I think
million.
I think you got to take Augusta out of
your dad would punch you.
I think you got to just say, yeah, look, I can find cheaper ways for you to get on to Augusta than $1 million. You're not going to pay $1 million.
I mean,
$9 million.
I am trying to find, how do you go into DMs that you sent yourself? Because I had a funny one that I wanted to read you guys.
So, Nick, you're going to take the $10 million.
Yeah, you can.
No, I would take the $10 million. I think I could do it. Unlimited mulligans.
You would attempt here's to take the $10 million.
Well, I would. No, I'd take the $10 million.
I would take the challenge. I give you $1 billion, but you have to jump to age 55 or give you $15 million right now. For me, that's a no-brainer. There's no amount of money worth years of my life. So I would take give you zero right now. That's the hard question. You get zero right now or $1 billion, but you have to take 20 years off your life. That's a sick and twisty question, Nick. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I don't like that.
I'd rather live poor as a 35-year-old than rich as a 55-year-old.
I don't know. I might take the billion.
Really?
Yeah. I thought about it. I'm like, it's like a coin toss for me of what I would do. It's very teeter-totter for me. And I'm sure there's a lot of people listening going right now going, you're an idiot.
I mean, $1 billion is so much effing money. It is so much money. It is just paying someone to wipe your butt money. Like it's so ridiculous. And when I get to 55, I'm not going to be like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm 55. But having to lose those 20 years would be a tough pill to swallow for sure.
I mean, my goal is to make $1 billion, but again, I wouldn't give up. Like Nick, if you really wanted to, you could use those 26 years to try to make, or 39 years for you, 34 years, whatever it is, to make $1 billion.
Okay. Let's be honest. And I love your, you know, confidence and, you know, your, you know, everything, Craig, but $1 billion is not, an attainable number.
Well, okay, so yeah, make it $100 billion. I'm saying like, yeah, I think it would be awesome.
It's definitely not an attainable number. Neither is $1 billion. And this isn't me you know, trying to
get billions attainable. Anything can happen, but
yeah, billions attainable. It's just
100
not...
billion. If it's 100 billion, go ahead. Fast forward my life for me.
Why? What are you going to do with $100 billion?
For 10 years, I'll have a hell of a fucking life. And then I'll get old. But for 10 years, I will make up for $15 million
right now. See, I think that you could take the $15 million.
But I think, but that's what, if there's 15 on the table, Craig, change it to zero. If the zero makes it difficult, give me the 15 now, because I think I can make it to at least a couple $100 million.
You could invest it and just be
fine. But you could lose it all. If you invest,
you also get finance. No, you're not going to lose it in the stock market. If you like, there's no ways, or in real estate. But I'm saying financial security is the answer, is the question. 15 million gives you financial security, so there's no choice there.
Yeah,
the 1 billion and the zero is the tough. I mean, it's a great question, because 55 isn't too old to do stuff. You know, it's right. It's a sweet spot number, but I think it would be a good poll. I think this would be a half and half ball.
55 is a sweet spot number. The 15 million right now has gotta happen.
Would you give all of the money that you have, all assets, anything to your name, to go back, you know, 5 years or 10 years? 10 years, yes. 5 years, I think, is a tougher.
Not for me to give it all back.
Yeah, you haven't hit an age yet that you're like, you know what, I could really crush life from like, like you're about to hit.
Yeah, I'm 29. If I go back to 24, knowing what I know.
So then, what are you asking me, Craig? I can either go back in time.
I don't know, because I wouldn't say change stuff. I'm just saying, like, I'm thinking about buying.
Yeah, he's not reading what the next question. He's not reading that one.
Oh no, I was just saying, like, how much is time worth? And
you know that movie? Oh, you know that movie, man, with Justin Timberlake, Just in Time. I think it's called.
Oh, yeah,
Just in Time.
Is it?
Is Just in Time, then I just realized that Just in is a pun for Justin's name, but it might not be Just in Time. It might be, you know, in time, where everything in the future is paid, or all currency is in time. And like, you know, the number is on your arm. And so if you do anything, man, buying like a cup of coffee or jumping on the bus or anything, you have to pay for it in time. And
the rich get more generally.
Yeah. And you know, the rich have like, you know, 150 years and people are like, oh my God. Right. And so Justin Timberlake gets dude, that's a good movie. I kind of want to watch it tonight.
You can either go back in time and change one chain of events, or I can let you see your future for the next 10 years. I'm not a big future guy. I'm like in a very good mindset of just like trying to build in the present. So I'm going to take that power to change some stuff in the past, and definitely mostly for financial gain.
Well, yeah, I'm right there with you.
I mean, we could save, I could, or stop the Holocaust. You know, like
it's your lifetime. You can't
one change of events in your life. And once again, there needs to be like an amendment here, because what you just said, Craig, is like, it's true, right? You're like, oh my gosh, man, what sort of asshole would I be if I didn't go back and kill, you know, baby Hitler?
Right. This is what I would do, because it fits into the scenario. I would go back to a time that I was standing in front of a cashier at a gas station buying a lottery ticket, and I would change the numbers that I told him that I wanted to be on my lottery ticket and win the lottery.
Oh, yeah, because then they get it too. They get a piece of it.
Everything with Craig's life is for financial
security. That's good. I would do that too. That's what I thought.
Yeah. No, look, man, money freaking dominates my mind too sometimes. I think that's so funny. Okay. So that is a good one. That's an easy one. I was actually thinking about this today, because Back to the Future, you know, came on, and then the Genie movie. Craig, man, what's the Genie movie that you told us to watch? Is it actually called Genie? It might be called Genie.
Yeah, it's called Genie.
And I was like, if I had three wishes, I actually
he has unlimited.
I think that I would get a sports almanac, just like in Back to the Future. I think it would be, you know, and then my mind began to race of like, okay, well, how do you properly do this without getting flagged? Because every single day I always see things, or every single, you know, Sunday, I always see things where it's like a sports bettor has the chance to win, you know, $409,000 if he hits this. So what sort of red flags would I raise?
Well,
if I hit like a 25 game, you know, fucking parlay on fucking NFL Sunday, well, a 25 game parlay is not possible, but like a 16 game, you know, parlay for like, you know, $50 million, it would raise all the red flags.
You'd probably get hired though by a bookie, like by a bookie.
People would be like, something's going on here. This is fucked. How did this guy just get all this money? So you'd have to like pretend to lose. And I don't know, lots of weird things would happen if you started to win a lot of money with gambling. But definitely would go back in time and I would change an event. And I don't know what event that is, but that's a good question too in itself, rather than looking in the future for 10 years. Because looking in the future in 10 years is yeah, I don't want to do that.
My biggest
ride the ride.
I don't know. Sometimes I have this haunting of this. I forgot to this lady that like helped me through like my last year of college and into law school. I kept writing, like telling myself I'd remember that I was going to write in my acknowledgments in my book, and I forgot her. And then when I had a chance to add them to the second version of the book, I forgot her again. And sometimes that bothers me.
But that wouldn't be the one event that you change.
No, it wouldn't. But anyway, because my mind was like, ooh, change stuff. And like, what would I like small things like, Nick, what would you answer that question? You want to see the future? You're all about going to the future.
No, I know. Not this one. This one, I would go back and I would change some things in my freaking life for sure. Most definitely would make some adjustments. Or like Craig said, I would just simply fill out a ticket or, you know, and make an investment into something that I know would pay off.
I think I can right all of the wrongs. Anything that I would fix in my past, which I'm fortunate that I that because I don't have like sickness or stuff, but I could do so much good with.
Yeah, but that's why I only said you get to change one chain of events.
One chain of events. Oh my gosh.
You can't do it all. Because if you do your future, you can in theory change it, but then are you changing it?
No, I'm saying with the money that I would
make. Oh yeah, okay, I got my one chain. Yeah, I think if I won that $1 billion, or I guess it would be what, $750 million after taxes or whatever, you could do so much good with that. You don't need all that money.
I would live on a boat and have houses everywhere and a plane and just hang with my.
So then this leads us into our next question, which I think that we've all heard Craig said that if he won the lottery, that he would get a boat and he would fly in friends on helicopters and he wouldn't let him leave. He'd be like, no, you have to stay here. You have to stay and you have to hang out with me. I have a room for you. I have like, you know, 15 rooms. You're staying here. And that is that. I feel like Craig would get really into like silk robes, or I would. Yeah, Craig would.
You're right. I would get lonely when the movie highlight would be like, and then everyone leaves and I'm just left there by myself on my boat.
Sitting on just like a mountain of cash. He's just sitting on cash.
I'm sorry, but nothing sounds nicer sometimes than
that. I know.
I would adopt some kid.
All right, Brad Pitt.
Okay, Craig. So then this goes into the. Yeah. Okay, Craig. So now moving on to the next question is one giant estate like the Biltmore or like Saltburn, like I talked about in the last episode, or you can own three smaller homes wherever you choose. I think the easy answer on this is to own. Well, actually, it's not an easy answer because the Saltburn estate was fucking rad. That thing was huge. It looked so awesome. But three smaller homes in awesome areas is my answer. And everything is covered expense wise.
I would pick three homes. Yeah. Mountains, Charleston. Well, I would pick the Bahamas. No brainer is one in the Bahamas where I used to live.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe might move it to a Discovery property on this one.
I think you're right.
A Discovery property in the mountains, a Discovery property in the Bahamas, and in Charleston. And that sucks. Yeah, because we're not talking about like a $30 million apartment in New York.
I guess what we wanted to say, like max budget, $5 million a home.
$5 million. Oh, yeah.
Charleston, the mountains, and the Bahamas for me.
Definitely somewhere in the mountains. Definitely somewhere in the mountains. Charleston, I feel like I'm always going to own a home here. Or I always would like to. And I don't know where the third place would be, but what a fun thing to think about. Because you have beaches, and then you have mountains, and then...
Well, I thought I was going to pick the Biltmore, like a place like that, because that having a giant home would be sick. But then I was like, I don't need that much space. So I would go Charlottesville, just nice house on like the, you know, foot of the mountains with maybe next to like a vineyard. And then probably somewhere on the beach, got to figure out the beach, and then somewhere overseas, either Scotland or Austria.
Can I play devil's advocate a little bit here?
Wow.
I mean, if like two of three of us are going to choose the three homes, then Nick, I feel like you've got to go Biltmore.
That's so fair. That's, yeah, see, that so is that, true. I think the so Biltmore that
Craig
would be
and
awesome.
I can come and visit your huge ass house, and we can have some ridiculous parties there, and then we have a bunch of other homes to choose from.
Yeah, well, fair
so
enough.
If we can make the that pillows into your universe, Nick,
having
you
a second
own a Biltmore
home
house.
Is really cool to fly somewhere and like have all of your stuff there.
Well, yeah,
and to,
that
like,
was
actually feel home in two different locations is
a kid I went to college with.
Yeah,
they were that rich. They had two homes, and they just bought double of everything, so they could just hop on their jet and just fly to the house.
That's awesome.
I'm just like, geez, that must be, that's like, that is true FU money.
See, my version of the Biltmore option in that is, and this could change my answer, if you were able, if I could pick like a huge ranch.
Well, yeah, it doesn't have to be the Biltmore. It can be
yeah,
wherever
no, no,
you
no,
want.
I know. I'm just saying, like, recently I've been really into the idea of going to live on a ranch somewhere where, like, you have the staff to do all the ranch hands and stuff, but like you can send rescued animals. Like you just have your animals and like you eat from the farm and
well, yeah,
you have
that's
your toys out there. And like,
I could have like some golf holes, a bunch of toys, all my animals and my chickens. I want my chickens back.
Wonder if
all
I could...
that type of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's,
wonder
that's
if
what
I
we all want, guys.
Get some...
that's definitely.
I don't
what
think it would because with the way, because people can still come visit you, and you're connected now to the internet. You don't have to live off the grid if you don't want to.
It's true. So, oh man! All right. Well, I'll let you guys talk, but I'm gonna get out of here. I did see that you, the Reacher's back, and I watched half of the first episode and thought I had seen like a whole movie, and I was like, I love that this is coming off this way, that it's not like, damn it, the first episode's always ready or already over. Like, I still have more of the first episode to watch, and I feel like I already got my money's worth, so I'm excited about that.
Reacher's awesome. Reacher is an ass-kicking show.
Oh, so good.
All right, dude, see you guys next time.
All right, happy new year, Craig. Happy New Year to our besties.
Happy New Year. Oh, yeah. Happy New Year, besties. We'll see you. I mean, we're not going far. We'll be right back here in a couple days. Wait.
Okay. And we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more pillows and beer. What's up, besties? And welcome back to this episode of Pillows and Beer. Nick and I are going to hang out for 10 more minutes or so because I jumped on late because it was just one of those days. And I just want to say what's up. I hope you enjoyed your time with Craig. I know you did. Now I'm going to give you my podcast voice for our last episode of 2023. It almost feels like, Nick, that it is 2024. Like, me just saying 2023 felt like archaic and old, you know? It felt like, oh man, 2023, that was so last year, but it's not. So I have a couple things. Okay. I have something funny. These are my podcast notes that I've been writing down for the past, week. The first one just says punked, P-U-N-K-D, like with Ashton Kutcher. Okay. I've been going down a dark hole, Nick, on punked episodes, right? So I started out with Drake, and it was so funny that Drake was in a parking garage and he was supposed to meet the vice president of the US. And then the driver of the car kind of gets out and he has to run inside. And then, you know, the smoke bomb goes off. And then like a pregnant woman's like, you have to move this car because I have to get to the hospital. And this guy's like, move the car. My wife is pregnant. And Drake's like, the guy with the keys, he went inside, right? And it's fucking pandemonium. And I was just laughing because I was sitting there thinking, and in my head, I was like, oh my God, dude, what if that was Craig? Right. And like, I mean, that's what I was thinking. Or, you know, me. And I'm like, how would we, you know, react to this? How would we react to someone being like, move your fucking car? And me and Craig are like, dude, the driver's inside. It's like, how long would it take until we snapped? You know? And I was just laughing. And I was like, I have to talk about this to see how we would react in all these, you know, situations. And I'm curious, I suppose, to what your thoughts are, Nick.
You guys would not handle it well, is all I got to say. I know I can see Craig would crack after about 5 to 10 minutes if it was just constant yelling. And either he would run in and grab the car keys, or he would just leave and call an Uber and do something.
Yeah. Or no. Dude, I actually thought that too. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so embarrassing. What if it was like, okay. And it was Drake, by the way. You know, Drake is like an international freaking juggernaut superstar, right? And I thought that he handled it really well. He was like, I'm not lying to you. Okay. I mean, he was clearly stressed, but I just feel like one of us would like run off and just be like, I'm fucking out of here, man. I'm fucking out of here. Like, I just got to get out of here so that someone doesn't snap like a picture or video and like we get roasted for this or something, which is such a ridiculous way to think. But yes, I think that you're right. I think that Craig would like, you know, run off maybe and be like, I'm getting an Uber. I'm getting the hell out of here.
Yeah, that's exactly what I see happening.
And I would,
I see being a deer in the headlights, not knowing what the fuck to do.
I'd be like, and like, I put up my window and like do my breathing exercises. Like, okay. So, Nick thinks that we would not react well to being in a punked situation. I think that you're right that Craig would do his best just to get out of there. But what if it's at your house, right? And there are some kind of situations where the contractor, he shows up and he fucks up everything. And then the person that owns the house is like, that's true. He probably would go inside and call up her and be like, I don't know what's going on, but you need to come here and get this guy out of my house.
I can see Craig firing someone on camera.
Here's one. Craig built a backyard oasis. What would you build in your house? And I'm asking this, and I'll obviously tell you what I would say.
Like out back, like outside, or just wherever?
Home addition. Just like,
I'll put in a big ass like man cave golf simulator thing.
Okay. Yeah.
Bar and golf simulator.
Love that. Because what prompted this question was that I was sitting there and I saw that a guy had built a bookshelf speakeasy in his house. And so you,
I saw that
on the bookshelf, and you walked in there and there was this like awesome, just like wooden bar. Right. And I was like, this is awesome. And I mean, that to me, I was like, what in addition? I wonder how much that would cost. But I think that the backyard oasis is amazing, and like a hot tub and a pool and a backyard in general, because I don't really have a backyard, but like a speakeasy would be so rad. Yeah. So.
Yeah, that'd be very cool.
The secret bar room. Yeah. Secret bar room. Okay. Here's a random thought, Nick. As I'm watching movies over the holidays, and as I told you that I was watching lots of movies and I was in the Christmas spirit, why is rock bottom in movies always eating Chinese in your sweats on the couch by yourself? feel like lots of people out there can identify as that being one of the happiest things that they could possibly do. Like, I love that. I love to put on sweats and to sit on my couch. And that means like, okay, you didn't go out tonight. You're just chilling at home. You know, you ordered some Chinese, but it's like the international symbol of you're a bum loser. If you like in movies, that is, if you sit on your couch in your sweats and you eat Chinese food by yourself. And I just don't think that's true. And I don't think that besties out there would agree with that either.
I guess I can play devil's advocate and see that okay. If I was really bummed out, because it's pretty much you are at home, you're just sweating it up like you do to relax, but now you're not talking to anyone. You're just eating leftover Chinese food. You probably had it. It's probably on your third time eating it, and you're just being lazy and not talking to anyone.
Some people might call that a great 3 days, Nick, because you just,
I would agree. But if you're already like, you know, your business has failed, your girlfriend cheated on you or rejected what you were told, right? No, when you proposed, whatever happened,
you got fired and your girlfriend dumped you.
Yeah.
And now you think that you have nothing left than this 3-day-old cold lo mein that you didn't even bother to heat up in the microwave. You're just eating it and you're like kind of crying into your shirt a little bit. You're wearing like a double XL shirt when you have no business wearing one. Okay. And that's the devil advocate. That's the devil's advocate of it. But what if you're just happy as hell? You know, what if you're sitting there and you're, you know, texting friends and, you know, you're watching a movie and you're eating, you know, Chinese food. Okay. Yeah. And there's two of it, but I'm just saying that the international movie symbol for being a pathetic loser seems to be sitting in your sweats, eating Chinese.
Yeah. Food. That, or a tub of ice cream. If it's
or a tub of ice cream. Absolutely. When did ice cream become just, I guess it's a comfort food, but it's not my comfort food. And it never has been. I understand that it is an international symbol. I keep on saying the word international, but that it is a national symbol of comfort food. But I don't want to eat something cold as my comfort food. That's not me.
Yeah. And then I guess cookie dough is another one, but I don't know. That's more of a
Question. Raw cookie dough. Yeah. If you're eating raw cookie dough, then you quote unquote, you must be depressed and you must be a loser and you must be single and you must be sad. You know, it's like, or I'm not calorie counting today and I am living.
All right, give me one more thought and then we'll close out the new year.
Okay.
Or the old year.
A thought. I have a couple things that are kind of like a back and forth. Okay. How about this one? For Christmas, I got my mom and sister a creative thinking journal. And on the front of it, it says, use this journal when you are high. I was like, this is so funny, right? And you leaf through it and there are all sorts of prompts. And the prompts are like, they can range anything from, you know, write your own, you know, RX prescription. Did I already say this to you guys?
You said you got them journals, but you didn't say what they were.
Okay. And then there's like, there's all sorts of prompts. And my favorite prompt was, and I want to get your thought, or one of my favorites, right? Because I haven't leafed through the whole thing. I mean, it's like a thick journal. It's pretty awesome. I cannot wait to use it. And I cannot wait to tell you guys about some of the prompts that I wrote. But the prompt read, the picture is a picture of a coach, you know, you, let's say Nick, you're kneeled in front of your Pee Wee basketball team and it's halftime and you're up by 10. There's a big speech bubble around your head and you're supposed to write in what the halftime speech would be. The caveat, the kicker is you have bet against your team to win. You've heavily bet for your team to lose, but you're up by 10 at half. What is the halftime speech that you give to your team to motivate them to lose?
Oh, I'm just gonna heap the pressure on them. I'm gonna be like, you guys can't screw this up. You can't disappoint your family, your friends. You can't disappoint me. If you screw it up, you're a freaking loser. But I'm just gonna just heap it on them.
Okay. So
heap on the pressure. Make them crack.
Okay. So Nick would build up the pressure to let these kids just be so nervous that every time that they get to the free throw line, they're trembling and they just brick. And that's a good one, I guess. I guess that mine would be like, I would try to be like, look, guys, you know, you're up by 10, but if you lose, there's no shame in that, right? And I would keep on talking about losing rather than winning. I'd be like, if you lose, there's no shame in it. You're all winners to me. But if you lose, and when you lose, you know, and so
that's a good one too.
So that their like competitive drive just completely left. And they're like, oh, well, coach said that if we lose, then we're winners anyways. And it's all about just having fun. And he'll take us to like a pizza party regardless. So, I mean, sure, let's just get out there and, you know, have fun. And so I would try to take away their competitive spirit, I guess. It's a really fucked up prompt, but it's really funny when you think about it. So I am going to do some so that the next time that
these are like adult Mad Libs are kind of.
Yes. That's exactly what it is. Anyways, it's my final thought. My final thought of 2024 is, how would you get your PB basketball team to choke in the second half?
You're going to make a great father, Austin.
Oh, God. All right, besties. Well, thanks for joining us on this discombobulated, but most likely very eventful Pillows and Beer podcast to wrap out the year. We love you all for making us one of your top listen to podcasts and making us one of the top listen to podcasts of the year. We love you all, and we'll see you in 2024. Everyone be safe and much love.
Peace.
What's up, Pillows and Beers listeners? I'm Reality Steve. If you're a fan of The Bachelor and all things pop culture, reality TV, you should check out my show, The Reality Steve Podcast, a daily show about The Bachelor, other reality TV shows you may be watching right now. I definitely throw in a lot of Taylor Swift talk and so much more. Search Reality Steve on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.